Transistor radio. Those days are over. Now it's seems people are using Twitter to spread their revolution, and police might be turning those tweets against them. The FBI has come down on a man they claim used Twitter along with police scanners to help protesters at the G20 last month to stay a step ahead of the police. Basically, tweeted them out of troubled way. 41-year-old Elliot Madison of New York is charged with hindering apprehension or prosecution, criminal use of a communication facility, and possession of instruments of crime. Instruments of crime. Explain that. Plus, the case raises questions about the law, free speech, and the use of social media websites. Let's talk about that with Vic Balchek, legal director for the ACLU.
Understand that this is just part of a much bigger war on demonstrators that we've seen here in Pittsburgh in the last couple of weeks. Folks who wanted to come out and express their disagreement with the G20. What you have here is folks who are charged with hindering apprehension of people who were engaged in criminal activities. The criminals identified in the warrant are protesters against the G20 summit, and their crime, they were demonstrating in the street without a permit.
So they're about to capture the beating of this 15-year-old special education student by a police officer.
They were shouting at you and he was swearing.
Marshawn Pitt says the officer started by verbally abusing him because his shirt wasn't tucked in.
I was tucking my shirt in.
But it's what happened next. After the officer puts down his cuff and had Marshawn Pitts worried for his life.
It was like, boom.
Where did he hit you?
He hit me right here. Boom.
Watch as he gets slammed to the ground, his face smashed into the floor.
Still at the bottom.
His nose was broken.
Were you bleeding? Did you know in your face?
All this is like on the outside. My mouth was busted.
Violent and unnecessary.
Police said, get out of here, and apparently they did, and somebody was trying to help them not go where the police are, and instead of saying thank you, you're helping these folks disperse, they now get charged with what is really a felony.
But like him with special education needs, when he was younger he suffered a brain injury and now has a learning disability.
So this school was for students with special needs.
Uh-huh.
And they were supposed to help you and understand your situation.
Yeah, but instead I got beaten on by a police.
The officer was in his face because he didn't have his shirt tucked in.
Ed Mansky is Marshawn's attorney.
And that's the officer put in that school to protect these kids.
If this happened in Iran or China, where we know Twitter has been widespread because folks in this country have been relying on it to find out what's going on, if it was used there, we'd be crying foul. We'd be saying it's a human rights violation. And when the same thing happens in this country, all of a sudden it's a crime.
There's a rule. What works is traditionally people can text one, instead of just texting from me to you, I could text everyone that chose to follow me. Okay. So the only difference in this setup is that we allowed points to go to everybody in the group. So if Martin wanted to text you and me, he could. If I wanted to text the two of you,
that's a big officer.
So it was a point.
The officer in question was a Dalton police officer, and the hold he puts Marshawn in can be a dangerous one.
He's on top of his
conversation.
That's called a face down takedown.
Yes.
This type of physical restraint has killed students, says Zena Nadich from Equip for Equality, a legal advocacy group that fights for the rights of people with disabilities.
Different than the way the three of us are talking now.
And what exactly, what kind of messages were people putting out on this site?
All sorts of messages. We put on the about different trainings. There was a Know Your Rights training. We talked about the, there were messages I received about the raid on the Just Seeds food bus. There was information about where meetups were for different marches, like the students' march. To be honest, I didn't see most of the messages because I was arrested very early on Thursday.
The first day.
So before the first day, there weren't many messages because there were just a few announcements about
and possession of instruments of crime. What does that mean?
Takedown, and kids often, and adults, die because they can't breathe.
This government accounting office report was released in May, just one day before the officer's use of the hold on Marshawn. The GAO study found face-down takedowns led to at least 20 deaths nationwide.
WCOM Radio, I'm Furious George. Hey, it's Thursday night, 103.5 WCOM LPFM down here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Listen, some fun folks are in town. Make sure you stick around and listen to them, including if you want to go right now over to Cat's Cradle to follow up all that good stuff that we had at the cave tonight. There's some other good stuff happening in town. Bass Nectar's here. Here's some of him right the, you know, as they're setting up the play across the street. That's Micropowered Community Based Radio. Furious, I'll be back. Oh yeah, okay, I forgot to mention, all that stuff about the police is inspired by taking note of the fact that October 22nd coming up here is national attention to police brutality, and considering we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of the protest in Seattle, I thought I'd just mention that. Okay. Micropowered Radio, Furious. You know you love it, so you know you love it, so you know you love it, so bounce.
instruments of crime. What does that mean?
Essentially what Elliot is charged with is using the computer or the cell phone to put up an announcement that said that the police had issued an order to disperse. Having done that and having informed people that the police had issued the order, then it is claimed that that announcement hindered prosecution somehow by, I guess, having people avoid being arrested. It would seem to me that that is something that provides some benefit to the police department in terms of saving them the expenditure of resources in processing people. Or at least in their complaint, that's what they said, that the communication that said, hey, there's been a dispersal order, everybody be aware of it, somehow turns into a crime of hindering prosecution. The communication facility then, the cell phone or the computer that was used to post that message, becomes an instrument of the crime, and the use of that mass communication facility becomes, they claim under Pennsylvania law, a third crime.
To us about the alleged abuse. The Dallas Police Department and the mayor of Dallas did not return our phone call.
Walking next to somebody and saying, hey, don't go down that street because the police have issued an order to disperse, stay away from there. All of a sudden, essentially, that becomes the crime that
Twitter is being used, and there were a couple of things here that the search warrant mentioned and also the criminal complaint. We talked about avoiding apprehension after a lawful order to disperse. But what about the fact that he might have broken or violated federal rioting laws by using Twitter?
Well, look, they could have charged them with hindering apprehension of people who were rioting. And if these folks were actively involved in either helping somebody break windows or engaged in a riot, you can charge them as an accessory or as a conspirator. That's not what they've done here. This is really creative charging. And what's most distressing is if you look at all of the papers, the only criminal activity that they've identified that these folks were supposedly helping was failure to disperse.
Talk to us about the alleged abuse. The Dalton Police Department and the mayor of Dalton did not return our phone calls. Marshawn?
About Honduras. In all those cases, repressive governments
have arrested folks for using Twitter. The only difference is, in all those cases, the State Department, the U.S. State Department, has condemned the arrest of these Twitter activists, and they've gone so far in the Iranian situation. The State Department, according to an article,
that's called
asked Twitter to...
This type of physical restraint has killed students, says
so as not to interfere with the Iranian protesters to be able to send out their tweets.
Natives from Equipped for Equality, a legal advocacy group that fights for the rights of people with disabilities.
It's called a face down takedown.
A face down takedown.
Takedown, and kids often, and adults, die because they can't breathe.
This government accounting office report was released in May.
I was walking through the city streets, and a man walks up to me and hands me the latest energy drink. Run faster, jump higher. Man, I'm not gonna let you poison me. I threw it on the ground. You must think I'm a joke. I ain't gonna be part of your system. Man, pump that garbage in another man's veins. I go to my favorite hot dog stand, and the dude says, you come here all the time. Here's one for free. I said, man, what I look like, a charity case? I took it and threw it on the ground. Farmer's market with my so-called girlfriend. She hands me her cell phone, says it's my dad. Man, this ain't my dad. This is a cell phone. I threw it on the ground. What, you think I'm stupid? I'm not a part of your system. Poser hands me cake at a birthday party. What you want me to do with this? Eat it? Happy birthday to the crowd! I threw the rest of the cake too. Welcome to the real world, jackass. So many things to throw on the ground, like this and this and that and even this. I'm an adult. Two Hollywood phonies tried to give me their autograph. The two phonies got up, turned out they had a taser, and they tased me in the butthole, fell to the ground, the phonies didn't let up, tasing on my butthole, over and over, I was screaming and squirming, my butthole was on fire, the moral of this story is, you can't trust the system!
Bro. Ah.
organization. In an 8-minute address in the Rose Garden, the president outlined the general ideas of the five committees' drafts, but there was no mention of the public option. The doctors in attendance reiterated their agreement with the urgent need for the reform. However, no consensus on concrete measures exists in the healthcare community at large. And while the president was meeting with one group, another group of pro-single-payer doctors seeking to attend the conference was refused entry.
I'm Dr. Margaret Flowers with Physicians for National Health Program. We represent over 17,000 physicians nationwide, and we are advocating for a national health program which is completely universal, everybody in, nobody out, and cost-saving. It allows us to take care of our patients without interference from insurance companies.
We'll be right back. stone of the train. I just stayed in a stone of the train at the churches.
A couple of weeks ago, Saturday Night Live opened their show with a sketch poking fun at Obama's ambitious yet entirely not accomplished agenda. Luckily, CNN was on the case.
So, did the show accurately capture a mood, or did it go off track for comedic effect?
Bill Adair, editor of PolitiFact.com, a nonpartisan fact-checking website that rates the statements of elected officials, says SNL missed the mark on some of its claims.
I think SNL tended to kind of gloss over what is a fair amount of progress by this administration.
You fact-checked SNL sketch. That's what you fact-checked. A Saturday Night Live sketch. You got together, did some research, put together a report on an SNL sketch. While you were doing your research, did you also find that sharks live in water and don't deliver candy grams? News. That is the public service they provide. It's one of the reasons the healthcare debate has been so fruitful. You can't get away with on CNN. For instance, a mere day before the Saturday Live fact check, Arizona Republican Senator John Kyle tried to sneak a Whopper past John Gangwon.
Almost everybody agrees that we could save $100 billion if we had effective medical malpractice reform.
Holy $1 to $200 billion just for malpractice reform. That is an impressively high citation-free, completely made-up number. And Kyle had a bunch of them. King wasn't going to let that stand.
Between $100 billion and $200 billion, a $500 billion cut in Medicare. It's a huge increase both in taxes and premiums. Seniors are rightly to be very concerned about that.
We will talk more about this as it reaches the floor. I assure you, we're out of time on this day, Senator John Kyle of Arizona.
Out of time on this day? Your show's 4 hours long! Out of time? Wait a minute. Your name is John King. Give yourself 3 extra minutes by royal decree. not, Cameron Sprouse is biding his time for the CBO report, which said, quote, malpractice savings would only amount to $11 billion. Even over a 10-year period, it's still only $54 billion off the deficit. $200 billion led by Kyle. I'm sure after the report came out, they had a huge fact-check segment on the... I'm being told they did not.
Let me show you something! Show you something! Show you something! Show you something! Show you...
Time, let's try another one where we try and determine how many uninsured or underinsured folks are really out there.
If you really begin to break down the 30 million, whatever the number keeps changing, of uninsured Americans, when you get down to a hardcore number, it's about 5 to 10 million that can't afford health care. I mean, out of a nation of 330 million people, I think that's a very small percentage.
Wow, that is a very small percentage. I think we'd all agree. First things first, according to the New York Times, America now has 307 million people, not 330 million people. So you're only off by a factor of Australia. Second, with that explanation, he went from 30 million uninsured down to, you know, the hardcore number, 5 or 10 million. Well, that's pretty close, 5 or 10. It's only double. You know, it's interesting because I weigh between 150 and 300 pounds. Now, that's normal for someone who's 6 to 12 feet tall. But...
take incremental approach and address the specific problems, gotcha. Not taking over the whole program.
And there's still some debate about the whether it's the 9 million, what the total number, and there's some census numbers. That,
right.
Okay.
But numbers exist, and I'm sure we can agree that one of them is probably okay. You know, statistics is a funny game. What about bold, slippery slope statements? If we do this, it leads to catastrophe. The lamest rhetorical trick in the book.
And what they're doing is they're trying to do this in increments by, if they can't do it directly, they'll do it in increments until they finally get us to the point where you're going to have socialized medicine. And if that happens, the greatest country in the world with what I consider to be the greatest healthcare system in the world is going to be deeply, deeply harmed.
All right, and let's leave it there.
There is a terrible place to leave it. Unless somebody's going to pick it up later. Does anybody pick it up later?
We have to leave it there, gentlemen.
We'll leave it there.
We'll leave it there.
We'll leave it there, gentlemen.
We're going to have to leave it there.
All right. Well, we got to leave it there.
We're going to have to leave it there, I'm afraid.
We'll have to leave it, that part of the conversation there.
It's the drug companies that are funding the president's campaign in favor of health reform.
We're not going to get into that right
but
now.
But
Karen, hold your thought, because we got to leave it there. We're out of time.
Well, I guess it explains CNN's new slogan. CNN, nobody leaves more things there. Now, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to fact check every, you know, crazy congressman or senator that comes on your air when you're only on 24 hours a day. But the beauty of the news is watching the CNN anchor and the CNN reporter work together to peel the healthcare onion.
Are the insurance companies saying that in order for the overall bill for this healthcare reform, the $829 billion that we're talking about, in order to keep it below, a trillion, then are they saying that what you're not hearing is that your premiums are going to go up? They're saying what you're not hearing is that your premiums are going to go up. The cost of your coverage is going to go up. That's what they're saying. The people who are writing the bill and the people who are negotiating and voting on the bill tomorrow say that
true. How do you check it? Can we check the number? That's a good question. You're not sure whether or not you can check? That is a good question. Can we check the numbers? Oh, you know, good. Check those numbers. All those f***ing people behind you. Wait, on the computers. Shouldn't they be checking the numbers? Actually, CNN does have a non-SNL fact-checking mechanism. It's called balance. Basically, it works like this. You get two crazy bald people one representing the right, and one representing the left. Leave it there to get to.
Meet the next YouTube star. His name is Josh Sacco. He's 5 years old. He recites a monologue.
To be fair, there was probably no other way people could have seen that YouTube video. To make a declarative statement about the work of the previous segments that we've seen just now, to ascertain that, we've obviously got to go to our panel. Asif Manvi, you join us first. What do you have to say about CNN?
Well, they're the most professional news organization in the business. 3 times more professional. Most people agree they have 20 to 35 to 7% more facts.
That's an interesting point, Asif Manvi. John Oliver.
They are goat, John. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. An organization whose sole desire and drive is the pursuit and seduction of goats. For the purpose of them. If the fact of a story was scribbled inside the sexual organs of goats, CNN may have more of an interest in checking them. Until that time, if you need a goat, CNN will do it.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes and she's gone.
WCOM Radio, I'm Furious George, signing off here, heading into the downtown Carbo area. To hear that there in the background you're listening to. Bass Nectar is in town right now. I'm going to go listen to it. I'm also going to be playing some other stuff here, including this group called Two Fresh Beats from Asheville, North Carolina, which I kind of consider some of my old stomping grounds. Speaking of stomping, we have been doing that all night with some crazy underground hip-hop and clips and sounds that you probably won't hear anywhere else unless you know how to dig through some crazy clips on the internet or fun collages of political nonsense. That's called the Furious George Show. We do it. We have fun with it. I have fun with it. You can check it out online, furiousg.blogspot.com. We'll be back next week. Donald's here. Welcome to the Smooth. Be sure to stick around for that. Here's some Smooth, two fresh beats from Asheville. I'm furious. I'll see y'all next week.